Welcome to DNB College. Today we're building a Dubwise Old School DNB breakbeat in Ableton Live 12, and the main goal is simple: we're not just dirtying up a break, we're turning it into something musical, controlled, and ready to arrange. That distinction matters. A raw jungle break can sound amazing on its own, but in a real track it can get too busy, too wide, or too unstable once the bassline and sub come in. So the whole point here is to capture the energy of the original break, then resample it into a version that feels intentional. Something you can use in a drop, a breakdown, a switch up, or a DJ-friendly intro without the whole mix turning to mush. Start with a break that already has character. You want swing, a strong snare, and enough ghost note movement to make the resampling worth it. If the source is already close to tempo, don't overwarp it. Let it breathe. In DNB, the original feel is often the magic. If the break has a snare with real chest in it, that's a great sign. If the kicks still have clear transients, even better. And if the ghost notes are alive before processing, they'll usually survive the journey much better. Why this works in DNB is because old-school breaks carry micro-variation that program drums often miss. That slight unpredictability gives the groove movement, especially when it's sitting against a steady sub. So don't treat the break like a disposable loop. Treat it like a performance. Next, chop the break into something you can actually control. In Ableton Live 12, slicing it into a drum rack is the fastest route for this kind of work. That gives you the ability to rearrange hits, mute tails, and build a new phrase out of the old material. You can also keep it as audio and cut it manually, but for intermediate workflow, the drum rack approach is clean and flexible. Think in terms of rolls. Keep kick fragments where they support the downbeat. Let the snare stay as the main anchor. Use hats and ghost notes for movement. And if there's one special hit in the break that has personality, keep that as a punctuation mark. A really good move here is to build a two-bar pattern first. Make bar one more stable, then let bar two be slightly more animated. That way you get a loop that already has variation, without sounding like you're forcing a full arrangement too early. Before you resample, shape the break with a small, controlled processing chain. Keep it simple. EQ8. Drum bus or saturator, maybe an auto filter and only light compression if the source is too spiky. With EQ8, you can gently clean up the low end if there's rumble below the useful range. A tiny high pass around 25 to 35 HC is often enough. If the break is muddy, ease out some low mids around 200 to 350 HC. And if the snare has gone dull, a subtle lift in the 3 to 6 kHC zone can bring it back without making it harsh. Drum bus or saturator can add density and help the snare and ghost note survive when you print the audio. Keep the drive modest. You want thickness, not flatness. If the break loses its snap, back off. What to listen for here is whether the snare gets denser without becoming flattened, and whether the hats lose brittle fizz but keep their motion. If the break starts sounding clamped or dead, you've gone too far. Dubwise does not mean lifeless. Now bring in some movement. A little automation can go a long way. You might open a low-pass filter over one bar into a drop, or create a short band-pass moment before a fill. You can also let a short delay answer one or two hits if that fits the vibe. The key is to keep it purposeful. We're not trying to flood the groove with effects. We're phrasing it. This is a good moment to make a choice between two directions. You can keep the break tight and dry, which is great if the bass line is already busy. Or you can let it be more dubwise and echoing, which works when the bass is more open and the arrangement needs atmosphere. Both are valid. Choose based on what the rest of the track is doing. If the bass is active and rhythmic, keep the break more direct. If the bass is simpler or more spacious, you can afford a little more echo and tail movement. That balance is everything. Once the break feels like it could carry a four-bar loop on its own, print it. Resample it. Commit it to audio. This is where the track becomes a track. You're no longer endlessly tweaking the source. You're capturing a performance. Try to record a two-bar or four-bar phrase with one small variation near the end. Maybe a tiny fill, maybe a reverse feel movement, maybe one extra hit before the loop point. Keep it tight. Don't over-record. The more you commit now, the easier the arrangement stage becomes later. And that's one of the biggest reasons this works in DNB. Resampling forces decisions. Jungle and dubwise drum music often hits so hard because the groove has already been curated. The machine doesn't need to keep thinking once the rhythm is printed. After resampling, edit the audio into a phrase that feels musical and usable. Trim noisy tails if they get in the way of the kick. Remove over-busy ghost notes if they blur the snare. Duplicate a tiny hit if you want a little extra push into the next bar. Even a small reverse tail can help the turnaround breathe. Now always listen in context. Not solo. Put a sub underneath it, maybe a simple bass stab or a reese, and hear how the break behaves. What to listen for here is whether the snare still clearly anchors the bar, whether the ghost notes feel like forward motion instead of clutter, and whether the loop point feels smooth rather than obvious. If the low mids start clouding up around 180 to 350 Hz, that usually means too many overlapping tails. Tighten the edits before reaching for more EQ. Often the cleanest fix is just better arrangement inside the audio itself. Now lock the groove against the bass line. This is the real test. The kick and sub should not both dominate the same moment, and the snare should stay the loudest mid-range anchor in the phrase. If the bass line is long and legato, let the break beat a little more syncopated but less crowded. If the bass line is stabby and rhythmic, simplify the break and let the drums and bass take turns. Keep the core drum body mostly mono. The center is what gives the break its weight in a club. A width should come from hats, room fragments, or delayed textures. If the break sounds huge in headphones but loses impact in mono, that's a warning sign. Your stereo content is doing too much work in the wrong place. A strong version of this idea is to keep the kick and snare honest and centered, then let the dub flavor live around the edges. That keeps the groove solid while still giving it atmosphere. Once it's in the arrangement, you can finalize it with another lean Ableton chain. For punch and control, a Q8, a light compressor, drum bus, and utility can do the job. For more dubwise grit, auto filter, saturator, delay, and a Q8 can work beautifully together. Just keep the moves modest. Small compression, short delays, controlled filter ranges, and saturation used as texture rather than as a loudness trick. What to listen for now is whether the snare still lands with authority, whether the echoes support the groove instead of smearing it, and whether the top end has movement without turning into hiss. If the break gets sharp and brittle, pull the saturation back and let the arrangement create the excitement. Now arrange it like a DNB phrase, not a loop. Think in terms of intro, drop, variation, breakdown, and second drop. A strong old-school dubwise arrangement usually works best, with two bar statements and four bar developments. Let the first two bars establish the identity. Let the next two bars repeat with one small twist. Then answer the break with the bass. Then strip the hats or reduce the density, so the groove can reset. That's a very DNB way to think. Short ideas, clear variations, strong returns. If a two-bar phrase feels stronger after resampling than your original four-bar jam, commit to the two-bar version and build from there. In this style, shorter often hits harder. For darker or heavier material, there are a few extra rules worth keeping in mind. Keep the snare honest. Use micro-edits for menace. Remove rather than add when you want tension. And control movement in the upper mids, not the sub. If you want dub energy, it often lives in filtered texture and echo shadows, not in the low end itself. The low end should stay stable enough that the bass can do its job. A really useful habit is to print more than one version. Make a cleaner, drier break. Make a darker, more filtered one. Make a more aggressive or echoed variation too. Then use them for different parts of the track. The dry version can hit harder in the drop. The dubby version can work in the intro, breakdown, or second drop. That gives you arrangement options without rebuilding the whole groove. And here's a strong rule for this kind of music. If the break sounds impressive solo but starts stealing the groove from the bass, it's already too elaborate. The best version is often the one that feels slightly less flashy on its own but more stable in the full track. That's the one that survives club playback. If you want to push the idea further, think in terms of dry main loop and dubby response hits. Or try a half-density drop version with fewer hats and less ghost note clutter. Or make an echo shadow version, where only selected snare hits answer with a short delay. These variations give you contrast while keeping the identity of the break intact. So here's the recap. Start with a break that already swings. Chop it into something you can control. Shape it lightly before resampling. Commit the printed audio. Edit it into a musical phrase. Check it against the bass. Keep the core body centered and mono-friendly. Use small edits and selective echoes for dubwise movement. And arrange it like a real DNB passage, not a static loop. If you do that, the result should feel dubwise, heavy, and alive, but still tight enough to drive the track forward. Now take the practice exercise and make it happen. Build one two-bar dubwise break phrase using a single old-school sample, resample at least one processed version, and create one intentional variation. Then drop a simple bass line underneath and test the interaction. If you can hear the snare clearly, if the loop point feels natural, and if the groove still works in mono, you're on the right path. Go print it, shade it, and let it breathe. That's the move.